Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is Revelation chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, on February 22nd, 1546, Pastor Johannes Bugenhagen, Martin Luther's pastor and friend, preached at Luther's funeral service. Luther had died a few days earlier, and it fell to Bugenhagen to preach. Bugenhagen referred to this text of Revelation and connected Luther to this angel. He did not do so in an attempt to say Luther was an angel, but he focused on the fact of what was preached by this angel, the everlasting gospel proclaimed, the hour of judgment. And Bugenhagen summarized it this way: the words here written, "Fear God and give him glory," are the two parts of Dr. Martin Luther's doctrine, the law and the gospel, through which all of Scripture is laid open, and Christ is known as our righteousness and eternal life. During this week, as we observe the Lutheran Reformation, we do not do so with the intent of idolizing an individual, but rather to thank God for the faithful teaching of God's truth, the truth of how we are righteous by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And we also learn of the need for that perfect righteousness of the Son of God, as our own righteousness is nothing. Bugenhagen pointed to the fundamental teachings rediscovered and brought to light through the proclamation of God's word, the law and the gospel. These two teachings are given their own place in our Lutheran confessions. The Formula of Concord confesses, "The distinction between the law and the gospel is a particularly brilliant light. It serves the purpose of rightly dividing God's word and properly explaining and understanding the scriptures of the holy prophets and apostles. We must guard this distinction with special care so that these two doctrines may not be mixed with each other or a law be made out of the gospel. When that happens, Christ's merit is hidden and troubled consciences are robbed of comfort, which they otherwise have in the holy gospel when it is preached genuinely and purely. For by the gospel they can support themselves in their most difficult trials against the law's terrors." Rightly confessing the law and the gospel is more than reading through the Bible and noting various passages as law or gospel, distinguishing between them and then applying them to an individual soul is not a mathematical problem nor a psychological diagnosis. It is the art of the care of souls, of understanding the spiritual distinction, the condition of a person, and of knowing the theological situation of that soul. In Dr. Luther's brilliant commentary on Psalm 51, he introduced it with a wonderful summary of the task of the care of souls, of theology, of proclaiming law and gospel. The psalm was written, of course, by King David after his deep fall into the sins of coveting, adultery, and murder. And Luther introduced the psalm this way: "A theologian discusses man as a sinner. This is the essence of man. The theologian is concerned that man become aware of this nature of his, corrupted by sins. When this happens, despair follows, casting him into hell. When the mind has felt this much, the other part of this knowledge should follow. A man hears and learns what grace and justification are, what God's plan is for the man who has fallen into hell, namely that he has decided to restore man through Christ. Here, the dejected mind cheers up, and on the basis of this teaching of grace, it joyfully declares, though I am a sinner in myself, I am not a sinner in Christ, who has been made righteousness for us. The law revealed by God in his word shows how deep a corruption we have, the chasm that exists between God and us due to our sin. The gospel revealed by God in his word, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, brings to us how God has dealt with that sin through Jesus. Luther was gifted by God to discern the distinction of law and gospel with precision and clarity. This set his teaching apart from so many that had gone before, and it remains within the confessional Lutheran Church as an ongoing contrast, not only with non-Christian religions which are based on the law, but also with much of Christianity, which continues to mix moral living and the hope of eternal life. When sermons are preached from this pulpit, the expectation is that we will hear God's law and what that law reveals in us, our thoughts and words, and that we will then hear the gospel from this same pulpit, what God has freely done for you. He gives you the gift of eternal life through faith in what Jesus accomplished for your salvation. This is true theology. It is easy to corrupt the distinction between the law and the gospel. One of the most brilliant and gifted theologians of the 19th century, C.F.W. Walther, wrote a book on the topic called The Proper Distinction Between the Law and the Gospel. In over 450 pages and 25 theses, Walther showed some of the ways this distinction could be muffled or even erased. It is easy to get it wrong. It is hard to get it right. And that's why it is an art, an ongoing learning process for the preacher, being shaped by God's word for himself and his hearers. The Lutheran Reformation was not accomplished by the ingenuity, brilliance, or sincerity of Martin Luther, or any of his compatriots, nor his successors in the 16th century. It was accomplished by God the Holy Spirit, through word and sacrament, bringing repentance and faith, new life, and certain hope. This is what we continue to pray for in our own day. God's law must still do its work, plowing and digging through our hard hearts. But then we look for and continue to hear and receive the good news, the gospel, what the law cannot produce in us. The gospel gives it fully and freely. You are forgiven in Jesus' name of all your sin. That is the message of the angel, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth. And that's yours. Trust that promise and word of your Savior Jesus. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise and let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that you have caused us to come to the knowledge of your word. We pray, graciously keep us steadfast in this knowledge unto death, that we may obtain eternal life. Send us now and ever pious pastors who faithfully preach your word without offense or false doctrine, and grant them long life. Defend us from all false teachings and frustrate the counsels of all who pervert your word, that your true church may evermore be established among us and be defended and preserved from false teachers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.